Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to take up this message here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, and we'll take this up in just a minute, but first I want to give you a brief update what's going on over there in Kenya. And we've had abundance of rain. This is the rainy season, the long rains they call it. Rains just about every other day, sometimes every day for an hour or two. And so we thank the Lord for that. Looks like we're going to have really good maize crops to feed the children, maybe even a little bit extra to sell. And so we praise God for that. It had been extremely dry the last few months before the rains came. And so we're very, very thankful for the rains. And then we have about 25 children in the children's home, and they're all in school now and doing well. We thank God for that. Occasionally we get a case of malaria, and so we have to deal with that, case of flu or sickness, and we have to deal with that. But all in all, things are going pretty well at the children's home. In Kenya, there's a lot of scrutiny, increased scrutiny for pastors and leaders because of a cult situation that has come up out at the coast of Kenya. A church out there that is a cult church has enticed people to fast and pray to meet Jesus, and many of them died. And so they're digging up bodies out there on the coast of Kilifi, and so it's going to increase persecution, increase scrutiny, and increase documentation for honest, legitimate ministries, honest, legitimate pastors and leaders. And so keep us in your prayers in regards to that also, that we can pass the muster, pass the vetting, and all of that that's going to be coming with this increased scrutiny. Well, today we're going to be talking about the days of Noah. And if you have your Bible there again, turn it to Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. And this is Jesus speaking. I would encourage you to read this chapter 24 over and over, because it's really Jesus' most comprehensive teaching and speaking about the end times. And of course, we are in the end times, I believe. I believe it started in 1948, the end time scenario, the 11 o'clock or the midnight hour, started in 1948, the pre-midnight hour. When Israel became a nation, Israel was given back their homeland, and people from all over the world, Jews from all over the world, moved to Israel. And that, I believe, started the time clock for the end time scenario, the countdown to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this passage of scripture in Matthew 24 is Jesus' explanation of his own coming. And so it's full of prophetic significance. It's full of prophetic time clock significance that Jesus himself spoke. And so we have to pay attention to this passage of scripture and look at it very closely. Well, Jesus said that his coming, there would be some signs. And in 24:36, he says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." And so don't waste your time trying to predict. I know it's very tempting to try to predict when Jesus is coming back, and many people have done that to their demise. Many people have tried to predict the day and the hour and caused all kinds of panic and all kinds of calamity. It's happened many times in history. So don't get caught up in trying to predict when Jesus is coming back. It's not only a waste of your time, but it goes against his commandments. And he says, nobody knows, only the Father in heaven knows. And if the Father in heaven doesn't reveal it to you, he's not going to reveal it to me or to anyone else. And he doesn't even reveal it to his Son. At some point in time, he will say to the Son, "Jesus, the events of the earth are finished now, and so it's time for you to gather up the church." And I believe at that point in time, the rapture will happen, but we're not there yet, and I don't believe we're even close to that. I'm not making a prediction about the day or the hour, but I don't believe we're even close to the time of Jesus return to gather up the church, or the rapture as it's spoken of in the Bible. So Jesus says, don't try to predict. Only the Father knows. And then he says in verse 37, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Well, what was happening in the days of Noah? You have to go back to Genesis chapter 6, and that is the story of Noah and what was happening on the earth at the time of Noah. And Genesis chapter 6, we'll look at that here in just a minute. But Jesus says in verse 38, for in those days of Noah, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. Well, if you know the story, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, if you know the story, God gave Noah a command to build an ark, and he said that he was going to send a flood, and so he revealed this to Noah. Noah had no idea really what a flood looked like. It hadn't even rained sufficiently on the earth. There was just a mist on the earth at that time. Hadn't even really been a big rainfall or deluge of any kind. And so God said to Noah, start building the ark and get prepared for the time when I will have you and your family go into the ark, because Noah and his family had been found blameless in front of the Lord, or before the Lord. And so God said, get you and your family prepared and the animals, and take them into the ark. And so Noah worked on this ark for 100 and some years, 120 some say. And so there was a time of faith building on the part of Noah, as well as ark building. He had great faith. He stepped out in great faith, not even knowing what the flood would look like, not even knowing when God would bring the flood, but he just stepped out in faith and he started building this ark. And the result was, when the flood came, Noah was prepared. When the flood came, the ark was finished. He took the animals in, two by two. He took his family in. There was eight of them total, including Noah and his wife, and they went into the ark, and all of those people were saved. And the flood came and it destroyed all of the people on the earth. There was millions and millions. Nobody knows exactly how many for sure, but millions and millions probably on the earth at that time. They were all destroyed, along with all of the animals, all the creeping things, all the creatures on the earth were also taken out in the flood. So Jesus said in Matthew 24:38, for as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. In other words, it was just life as usual. It was just like business as usual, just like we have it here in America, business as usual. There's marrying, there's giving in marriage, there's eating, there's drinking, there's football games, there's volleyball games, basketball games, there's school events, there's Congress meeting with all kinds of issues coming up before them. And so it's just the daily routine of life that we have here. And it is a life that many times gets so distracted that we can't see Jesus. We don't pay attention to his warnings. We don't pay attention to his word. And we get so distracted and so busy with our daily life that we forget about God. The only time we pay attention to God, or the only time we seek God many times, is when our life starts to crumble, when we have issues, we have financial issues or divorce or sickness or some kind of calamity in our life. Then we jump out of our routine and we start to cry out to the Lord. And so in verse 39, Jesus said, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And so they didn't understand, and you can imagine when they were in their normal routine, and all of a sudden it started to rain that day. All of a sudden the rain started to get heavier and heavier. All of a sudden there was a deluge, a downpour that was of catastrophic proportions, and all of a sudden then there was a flood. The water started to rise higher and higher and higher until it covered the whole earth. And as it covered the whole earth, then the flood started to lift up that ark of Noah, and it lifted up those eight people and all those animals that Noah had preserved. And so the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ, how we can get into the ark of Jesus, how we can seek Him, seek a life with Him, come to a place of repentance, come to a place of rejoicing, come to a place of where the Lord forgives us of our sin, where our sins are covered by His blood. That is the ark that is Jesus Christ, and that is the ark that the Ark of Noah pictured. It was a precursor or a type and shadow of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our refuge in the flood. And so as you see this picture, it's a beautiful picture. And of course it rained for 40 days, 40 nights, and then the earth started to dry out. Noah came out of the ark, and his family came out of the ark, and so there was a regeneration or a renewal of the family of God, of the family of the children of God. There was a renewal for them here on the earth, and so they got to start fresh, and that was the way that God renewed the earth. Well, God promised with the rainbow that He gave to Noah. The sign of the rainbow was a covenant with Noah, or the sign of the covenant of that there would never be another flood like that, of that proportion. Yes, we have floods, but they're quite small compared to that. Floods of the Mississippi River, even the Prairie Dog floods at times. But the flood of that proportion will never, ever again happen, because God gave a covenant to Noah, and He said seed time and harvest will continue, and heat and summer and cold and winter and all of this covenant that God says, I will never again destroy mankind in the way that I just did with the flood. So Jesus goes on to say here in verse 40, then there will be two men in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. And therefore be on the alert, for you do not know at which day your Lord is coming. Well, I believe this is a picture of the rapture. Jesus said He's coming back to gather up the church. You can read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Jesus is coming back to rapture out the church, and one will be at the mill, one woman will be at the mill, or two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. And there will be two men in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. And so that is a picture of the rapture. Some are not going to be ready, just as some weren't ready for the flood when the flood began, when the rain began. Some won't be ready when Jesus comes back to rapture the church out of here, because it's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, and some won't be ready. And when their partner at the mill goes, they're going to wonder what in the world happens. And when their partner out in the field that they're cultivating with or planting with, when that partner goes, they're going to wonder what in the world happened. And Jesus said, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. And then in verse 43, but be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. Well, isn't that the truth? When you go to bed at night, you hope that isn't the night that the thief decides to break into your house. And thank God in America, a lot of people have guns. They have guns to protect their own property. In Kenya, people are not allowed guns, so people hire private guards to sit around their house at night and people also build big walled compounds. They have walls with concertina wire on top of the wall or broken glass on top of the wall, and they are trying to prevent that thief from coming in because they don't know what night that thief is going to choose to try to get into their house. And so it is, Jesus says, just like you're trying to stop the thief from coming into your house and you don't know what day that thief is going to come. You don't know what hour that thief is going to come. He says the coming of the Son of Man will be just like this. It's going to be a shock. It's going to be a surprise. And you will not know until you see Jesus in the clouds, coming in the clouds. You will not know that this is the day that he has chosen to come back and take his church home to heaven with him, take the saints that believe in him. He will come back to take them and gather them up, and he will take them to heaven and sit down in heaven with them at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you can read about that marriage supper in Revelation chapter 19, is the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that happens at the end of the Great Tribulation. And so you want to be at that marriage, you want to be at that supper, you want to be prepared so that any time when Jesus decides to come back, when the Lord God sends Jesus back, whenever that happens, you're going to be ready. You won't be caught surprised. You won't be caught without oil in your lamp. You will be prepared. You will be ready. And you will be raptured out of here with the saints to sit down and sup with Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I'm going to take us back to Genesis chapter 6 as we look at this scripture about the days of Noah. I'm going to take us back to Genesis chapter 6, and we can get a close-up look at what was going on in Genesis 6 in the days of Noah that Jesus was referring to, because the days that we are encountering now, the days that we are seeing now, Jesus said it's going to be just like it was in that day of Noah. Well, what was happening in Noah's day? It says in 6:1, now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land that daughters were born to them. And the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. And then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. Well, you're seeing the Lord start to minimize or take down the number of days of man on the earth. He started out with Methuselah, 969 years, and Adam lived 950, so the saints of old at the beginning of creation lived many, many hundreds and hundreds of years, many of them up into the 900s of years. And now the Lord is declaring that the length of days of man was going to be just 100 years. And he's saying that because the man had become very corrupt, and the Lord says, because he is also flesh, verse 3, because he is also flesh, nevertheless his days shall be 120 years. In other words, the Lord was saying that his deeds have become fleshly. His deeds are of the flesh. They are corrupt and they are wicked. And in Galatians 5, verse 19, the Apostle Paul talks about the deeds of the flesh. And he says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions or heresies, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, Apostle Paul has warned people in this passage of Scripture that the deeds of the flesh will not allow you to enter the kingdom of God. The deeds of the flesh will not allow you to enter heaven, that they will prevent you from salvation. in an unrepentant manner. That doesn't mean that if you've practiced these at some point in time in your life that you will never obtain salvation. Yes, you can obtain salvation even if you've been a terrible sinner or a sinner with great sexual immorality, great problems in your life, all kinds of addictions, all kinds of stealing, murder, whatever. You just need to repent of that. You need to repent and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Get your knees on the ground and ask the Lord to forgive you. Repent of those sins, and the deeds of the flesh then can be washed away by the blood of Jesus. Just as the flood washed the wicked and the corrupt and those who were practicing vile and fleshly deeds on the earth at that time of the days of Noah, just as the flood washed them away, Jesus' blood can wash away the sins of any sinner. All you have to do is repent, change your heart, look to the Lord, ask the Lord to forgive you, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Thank God for that. Praise God for that. The blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness and prepares us for eternity in heaven. The Lord says in verse 4, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. That was the giants. And also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Well, there's a lot of debate about who the sons of God were that came into the daughters of men. Some people claim that they were the fallen angels. Others say that they were the sons of Seth, and they were corrupted by the fallen angels. Either way, you get to the same place, and that is all of mankind was corrupted in the time of Noah. All of the men of the day, all of the women of the day, all of the children of the day were corrupted at the time of Noah, except for Noah and his family. And so God was trying to preserve a pure bloodline that would eventually lead to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. God was trying to preserve a pure bloodline that was not contaminated. The DNA was not contaminated, was not altered, was not polluted. And so by sending the flood, all of that polluted and defiled DNA was wiped out, and we were left with a pure bloodline, a pure, wholesome people who still had a pure soul that could be saved. And those people then were the bloodline of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth then to destroy the works of the devil. Well, in 6:5 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, we see that happening today. There's so many things happening here in America, and not just in America, but all over the world, where people's thoughts are so evil, people's thoughts are so vile. There's so much sexual immorality, and all of the things that you're seeing happening in the U.S. today are a result of that type of thinking, where people's thoughts are just continually vile, continually evil, and there seems to be no redemption. There seems to be no repentance, and people seem to be not interested in God. In fact, just the opposite. They seem to be haters of God. Proverbs 12, verse 20 says, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. And Proverbs 14:11, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And another scripture pertaining to the evil thoughts of man's heart, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick or desperately wicked. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results or the fruit of his deeds. That's Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Judgment is pronounced on man who has wicked and vile deeds and does not repent, judgment is pronounced on that man, and he will then reap the reward of his wicked deeds. He will reap the reward of his vile actions. And so that is a warning of judgment coming to those who don't turn to the Lord, to those who don't repent. Well, beloved, I'm running out of time here, but you can see that we're in the days of Noah here on the earth at this time. It's just like as in the days of Noah. And Jesus said that that is one of the signposts, that is one of the markers for his coming back. And so we know we're here. We know that we need to turn to the Lord. If you've never done that in your life, make a decision today to accept Jesus. Get down on your knees, repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you, and he will be faithful and true to forgive you. He will be faithful and true to put his blood over your sins and forgive you, and your sins will be washed away. Your sins will be not only forgiven, but they will be forgotten as far as the east is to the west. Do that today, and let the Lord be the captain of your life. Let the Lord be the ark for your life. Well, Gather the Outcast, a listener-supported radio ministry, we thank the Lord for that. We invite you to partner with us, not only for this radio broadcast, but to help support the Africa Mission. And we thank the Lord for all of those who are praying for us and who are supporting us. Sit down today. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know you're listening. Write out a check to support this great ministry, this great mission. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.